from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you'll ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving.
Welcome
to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Welcome, my friends. If you have a teenager, or you have a young person, or you want to reach a culture that you don't relate with, or sometimes you look across the table at your young adult and you think, what has happened? I see tattoos. I see piercings. I didn't approve that. I don't know how to reach this person. Then you do not want to miss today's podcast, because not only do I have one of my longest, closest friends in life, but I have the founder, the king, the one and only man, Mario D'Ortenzio, who started Death to Life Revolution. Welcome to the Smalley Podcast, Mario. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome, brother. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show, my friend. And how is the weather in Scottsdale, Arizona?
It is a very chilly 105 today.
You know, it's actually 105 in Houston as well.
No, yeah, but we have a dry heat, brother. Houston, that ain't dry heat.
No, it's not only 105, but I also sweat just thinking. That's all you have to do in Houston is think, and you begin to sweat.
It's a warm day. That's so we have pools.
Yeah, I know. It gets miserable, but you know, right, Mario.
Right. Yeah, that's why we have pools.
Hey, when did we first meet each other? How old were we? What grade were we in? Do you
freshman
even remember?
Year in high school, 14, 15 years old.
14 or 15 years old. And you know, Mario, you're actually like literally the brunt of one of my most famous jokes in my comedy routine. Did you
really
know this? Yeah, you are. Because I tell people
like
I wasn't
the brunt of people's jokes.
Well, I know. Because I tell people I wasn't the smartest kid growing up. But I go, but actually, you know, you might be impressed by this because I actually graduated 24th in my class. And then people inevitably go, wait, out of how many kids? And I go, 25. And then they laugh. And I go, yeah, it gets better because my best friend graduated 25th. And you're that best friend.
No, actually, I think I was 22.
I'm pretty sure you graduated behind me. That's how I remember it, Mario.
No, that's probably true. Yeah, I wasn't the best of students, Michael.
Hey, neither of us were, because you know what we are good at?
What's that?
We are good at loving people well, and that's really what matters.
That's when it's all said and done, that's what matters.
And I'm telling you right now, bro, I am looking at Death to Life, D2LRevolution.com. And I remember when you were starting this ministry, and right. I love what you're doing. And just let everybody know, what in the world is Death to Life Revolution, and really, why did you start it?
Well, in May of 2000, well, in early 2009, my wife Carrie and I, we wanted to start something new. We really felt the Holy Spirit was kind of pushing us to start something new, and that's something that has been done before, like with FCA or Young Life or Youth for Christ, something totally out of the box, but we had no idea what it was going to be. I started looking at a lot of stats, a lot of Barna stats, a lot of different stats that were saying how often kids are using technology today. And one of the stats that really stood out was a stat: kids 7 to 18 years old are using about 7.5 hours a day technology, and that's being online, that's using their phone, 7.5 hours a day. So we're like, you know what, that's where we need to be, is, you know, in that culture. And there is a culture out there that has no idea who Jesus Christ is. I mean, point blank, they would never step foot on a church campus. And that's where my heart is. So I took those two parts. I wanted to reach those unchurched kids, and I wanted to use technology. So that's how we created the Death to Life Revolution. And what we do is we do two things. One is our website, d2lrev.com, d2lrev.com. It's an evangelism tool, and we disciple kids all around the world. We partner with ministries that preach the gospel. We're the follow-up. And then we get these kids plugged into churches in their area.
Wait, hold on a minute, though, because you said something that I really, really like. Okay, because one of the things that I know that I've experienced, because I've been around the world and I've done conferences and I've gotten kids and adults alike all jazzed up at a conference. And generally, the biggest mistake made is that there's no really good discipleship or follow-up. So when you say we're the follow-up, are you talking discipleship?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's been my heart probably for the last 10 years. I was a director with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for close to 10 years and absolutely loved it. Was noticing that kids were getting saved. A large number of kids were getting saved. But there really wasn't a true focus on discipleship and what's next with the kids. So that's, I mean, dude, I mean, no matter what I say to Michael Smalley, if there's not movement from the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to change. But it is my responsibility. The Great Commission, I'm called to make disciples. You are called, I think it's a commandment, not a recommendation. So we're called to make disciples. And how are we going to go about doing that? And that's why we created the D2L. So it's all videos. The website, they're all videos. And the videos are done by some pretty radical guys and gals who love the Lord. But it's the basics. You know, Awana, you know, Jesus 100. Who's Jesus? What's heaven? What's hell? You know, just the basics. And so they get an idea from these videos on who Christ is, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then we get those kids, you know, okay, now I know I need to get plugged into a church. Instead of them burping a prayer at an event, handing them a Bible and saying, hey, you need to get plugged into a church, they're not going to get plugged into a church. Church is a four-letter word. So it's just baby steps with these kids. You know, and they're kids that, like you said, I mean, they're tatted up. They're a tribe. They're a very large tribe in our culture that is not being reached.
They are, and I think that's probably one of the greatest, how do I even word this? That's one of the things that breaks my heart of the church is how the church has missed major populations because you don't look right, you don't smell right, you don't sound right, therefore you don't fit in. And so we're not comfortable with you. And I'll never forget, Mario, when I was the interim senior pastor of a church in Victoria, Texas. And you know me, and you and I were close friends, and I don't think we do. We tend to not fit in places, I think, especially religiously. Right. And I'm in this town kind of in the middle of nowhere in Texas, just flat and dusty and just a lot of bikers, frankly. And I'll never forget the sermon I was giving where I was just kind of going off on this idea of Christians should be the least judgmental of them all. I mean, we Christians should be the least judgmental, but yet society looks at us because most of society experiences judgment as a whole from Christians. And so our reputation tends to be very kind of like pharmaceutical, right?
Totally.
And so I was going off on that subject. And I eventually got to the place where I said, you know, I want Parkway Church. We need to be a kind of a beacon in this community to where everybody is welcome. We don't accept all behavior. It's not about accepting behavior. But man, if people don't feel welcomed here, that's ridiculous. And I went, so I'm going to say it right here from the front as your pastor, that the more tattoos you have, the happier I am. I want you tatted up from the foot up to your head. That will make me, and so I kind of go off, you know, my hyper normal self. And I will never forget this because you know, after every sermon, I'd always go out into the lobby, and I'm hugging on people, kissing on them, just saying, so glad you're here. And the largest Harley Davidson, leather, you know, head bandana. He's got the kind of tattoos that are crawling up the side of his cheek, right?
Right.
This guy looks so rough. I honestly thought this might be the day I'm finally going to get killed because he just comes up. I mean, he is massive. He's got to be 6'5" and thick, right? He is huge, and he's coming up to me, and I'm thinking this isn't good. And he has got the reddest, swollen eyes. Tears are coming down his cheeks, and he just hugs me. And I hug him back, and I didn't know him. And I went, hey, you know, is there anything I can do for you or pray for you about? And he went, I just needed to thank you because I haven't been to church for 10 years because I never felt welcome. He goes, but for some reason, I was on the highway driving through Victoria today on my bike, which I thought at first meant like a 10-speed, but apparently that's not a 10-speed. I found out later. His Harley, obviously. Right. And he said, for some reason, God wanted me to come to this church, and I know why. Because he knew there was a pastor, and he showed me that church has changed.
Wow.
He goes, because I never knew that there were pastors out there that talk like you talk. And I go, actually, there's probably not a lot of them, but I'm so glad, though, because it is changing, and there's ministries like yours. Because if people don't, and I even want to take a moment, because you know what's even more sad, Mario, is that there are children and spouses in their own homes that don't feel welcomed, that don't feel accepted, that don't feel loved. And so not even, you know, because I love what you're doing in your ministry, but we can even take this down to a more intimate level that we need to have this attitude of discipleship, but also acceptance in our own homes. Because we look at our kids and we're so rough with them, and we just go, I want you to be maybe a cookie cutter version of me. I know I had to do that with my son, my 15-year-old Cole. I was getting so rough and negative with him in the sense of, you're not being perfect or you're not making decisions like I would as a 39-year-old adult. And I had to remind myself that, dude, back off or you're going to lose him. But even that discipleship component, that is really, really, really cool. And I wonder, Mario, would this even be a cool tool that families can even use?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, it's done. The videos that we have, they're done by professional skateboarders, BMX guys, guys that minister to that culture, guys that speak to that culture. You know, a lot of the athletes that are a part of our ministry are Olympic gold medalists in snowboarding, professional surfers. One of the guys that's really involved with what we're doing is a guy named Brian Head Welch that was in the band Korn, which is very, you know, Christian type of band.
Right.
But he's been radically transformed by Christ. But he's a guy that is tattooed from his face all the way down to his toes. And the Christian culture looks at him and they're like, you know what? We don't want what you have. And he's like, well, that's fine. I don't want to minister to you. I want to minister to those kids, those youth, those adults that have no idea who Jesus Christ is. So those are the
which
type
is kind of the point.
What's that?
That's kind of the point.
That's totally the point. I mean, you really break it down. You talk about Christians. Who killed Christ? Was it the saint or the sinner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't the sinners. They were the religious leaders of the day. You know, and I mean, I had a buddy that told me that. I'm like, isn't that the truth? Who are the ones that usually destroy other Christians? And that's Christians.
Yep, it is.
You know, so, you know, we love these kids and we enfold these kids in the churches. And brother, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're literally discipling. I mean, it's neat what God is doing. On the average, over 1,000 kids a month all around the world. And it's really cool, but we're really stoked on what the Lord has called us to do.
That is unbelievable. And I want to just encourage the listening audience. It's D2LRev.com. And if your kid, I just had a conversation with a 13-year-old girl in our youth group. If your kid is sort of disinterested in the Bible, or maybe the Christianity hasn't become alive yet, I'm just telling you, check out the site or maybe your kid is that one who is the skater or who is a little off, take them to the site, utilize these tools, get them interested, because I'm telling you right now, as their parent, it is your job to reach them at their level. Maybe you need to stop trying to make them come up to your level. Maybe it's time you get down on your knees and meet them where they're at. And this site, Death to Life Revolution, that's what you can do. And when you get these kinds of personalities, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to use stuff like this. I'm looking at Rick now, who's an MMA fighter. He looks like it. Is Rick an MMA fighter?
Yeah, he's pretty hardcore.
No, he is. Hey, one of my good buddies is Chad Robichaud, who is the former world champion in the flyweight. These guys, man, there are powerful Christians in all of these kinds of genres who are doing unbelievable things. And I went to his cage fight match on a Friday night, dude, and I had to go preach at one of the most uppity churches in Denver 2 days later, and I lost my voice. And I had to explain to 10,000 people why I couldn't talk because I was at a cage fight.
You're yelling at an MMA event.
Because I was at a cage fight. It felt right.
That's awesome.
It felt right. But I really do. I want to encourage you parents that if you're having a hard time reaching them, maybe it's because you haven't gotten to their level. And that's what Death to Life is doing. And I want to thank you, Mario, for being willing to do that work. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for what you're doing, man. I mean, it's neat to see how the Lord orchestrates all this stuff, especially where you and I have both been. So it's really cool.
I'm just thankful that you and I survived high school and that we're still alive.
That we're still alive and we've definitely married up.
And that we married up and that we actually have ministries and that God, you know why God uses us, right?
Why is that?
God uses the people that clearly point to him because people here on earth look at you and I and they go, there must be a God, because those two guys, they can't make this stuff happen.
That's I agree with that. Amen.
Well, hey, thank you. And folks, as always, at this time of the show, there's really only one thing left to say.
And now it's time to say goodbye.
And as always, you know it. It's time for a little bit of 1440 and Renier Bester. What about God?
I have toiled in foreign soil for a thing that is my own. All my labor is in vain. I show the scars in my mind. Loving deeper than a love that never ever dies. Well, I need you to extinguish me. What about God and the things that he wanted you to be? What about love and the songs that she wanted you to sing? What about peace? She stole the night from your